1 Samuel chapter number 18, the Bible says, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him." And the Bible says this about David. Am I jumping on your lessons here, Brother Bauman? I don't want to get ahead. I'm sorry. We're going to springboard off this, all right? David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. That's nice to be said about you. Hey, when you were placed in this situation or this circumstance, last night there we were at a visiting church and the people were coming up and, you know, they're so gracious and nice and, you know, they're bringing out my kids' juice boxes, right? My kids are on their best behavior, threatened with their life. And there they are and we're walking out and, you know, they're all like, "Oh, your kids are so great. They're so well behaved." For a moment, my children behave themselves wisely, to which I am thankful. You jump down to verse 14, though, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. If you look at verse 30, it says this: David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul. And as I read 1 Samuel chapter 18, I can honestly conclude this. David behaved himself wisely. It wasn't in a moment. It wasn't because of a specific event. But three times, three different ways, the Lord says it about David. This I know about David. He made a habit of behaving himself wisely. Regardless of the circumstances that were around him, whether even if someone was trying to kill him, even if someone was trying to pin his body up against a wall with a javelin, the Bible says that he behaved himself wisely. That was his habit. That's what he did. Every day, behaved himself wisely. What are your habits? Here we are at the end of a calendar year. And oh, we're going to, maybe our spouse or our friends are going to ask us, maybe you're going to see online, New Year's resolutions. What are your habits? What do you do automatic? Maybe one of your habits is eating fast food, and you say, "This year, 2021, I'm going to cut out fast food. I'm going to try and eat more salad. I'm going to try and get to the gym once a week. I'm going to try and wake up a little bit earlier. I'm going to try and spend more time with." What are your habits right now? What habits? How about this? Did you try anything last year and by about mid-January, gone? You did good for a little while. I'm going to go into my basement. I'm going to lift weights. There you were, and you were sore the first day, second day. One day you didn't feel well, and you slept in a little bit, and all of a sudden the habit's gone. Gone. What have you tried and failed? What habits will you try again? Tonight we're going to talk just briefly about how to form good habits, biblically now. A lot of people are going to consider dieting. You're going to see an influx in advertisements for treadmills and gym memberships. But how about spiritually? Ever make a decision, this is the year I'm going to read through my Bible. This is the year I'm going to pray more. This is the year I'm going to be a more faithful witness. I'm going to be more faithful to church this year. I'm going to make it a priority. Have you said that before only to waver on that? Anybody? Sure. So what are we going to do differently? How do we do something differently to create good habits? I want to have a testimony about myself where David said he behaved himself wisely. I want to take those things that I know that are good and right, and I want to apply it to my life, and I want it to be who I am. How do I get from a wish to a habit? Well, number one, if you're taking notes, maybe you write these things down. Number one, make it easy for yourself. So, for instance, let's look at this scenario. I'm going to start reading my Bible more faithfully. All right, great. That's a great decision. Make it easy for yourself. Tonight, when you go into the car or come into the house, don't leave your Bible in the car. Say why? Because you're going to wake up tomorrow morning when the alarm clock goes off, and it goes off a little bit earlier, and you're like, why on earth is it going? Oh, yeah, I'm reading my Bible. Oh, but it's in the car. I'll do it tomorrow. Make it easy for yourself. Bring your Bible in, put it open to the passage that you're supposed to be reading, and lay it right next to your nightstand. So tomorrow morning when you wake up, there it is, all ready to go, Mr. C. All ready. Make number one habit of forming good habits, make it easy. Put your Bible out the night before. Program, here we are. Listen, we live in almost 2021. We have programmable coffee pots. Say, so what does that mean? Man, there's something about the smell of fresh coffee that'll get you out of bed in the morning. And you program that little thing to whatever time it needs to be, and whammo! Just thinking about sitting at the table, is my Bible open, ready to go, and coffee is all ready. Make it easy for yourself. If you don't drink coffee, whatever. Get yourself a whatever it is. Make it easy. Go to bed early. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up and pray. 11:30. Hey, let's check out what's on Netflix. That would be a bad choice. Because come 1 o'clock, and you're going to bed, and that alarm clock goes off at 6 the next day, and you don't have to get up, you just made it harder on yourself. Make it easy. Go to bed early. Surround yourself with things that encourage you spiritually. That'll help make it easier. Today I was, as many of you know, we're to the sanding stage in our new room upstairs. I looked like a snowman today. But I had a good mask. I didn't have any of this any around my face. But the rest of me was white. And I had little headphones in. And I listened to a science show. I started listening to Ben Shapiro. And that was not helping my thought process. I agree with the things I heard, but that was not encouraging me in the Lord. So I sent out a text. I said, hey, I need a good message right now. And someone sent me a great message by Brother Tony Shirley. Man, that encouraged my heart. That helped me to think spiritually. Just trying to make it easy for myself to form good habits. Turn the TV off. Turn the computer off. Turn off your phone. This is not just an external battle, but an internal one. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. I desire to do godliness, but at the same time, there's something that's battling that. It's called my flesh. And that flesh shows up every time that alarm clock goes off. Every time the Bible, it's time to get open. I can make 1,000 excuses of why I shouldn't. Make it easy for yourself in forming good habits. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are the contrary, the one to the other. Galatians 5:17 says, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. God, I'm going to read my Bible through. I'm going to read my Bible through by the end of June. That's possible. It would just take focus. It would take cutting some things out. You could do it. Lord, I'm going to pray every single day for an hour. Your lifestyle right now does not dictate that. But make it easy for yourself. Surround yourself with things that will encourage you. Listen to good music. Turn the TV off. Turn off the computer. Turn off the phone. Number one, in forming good habits, make it easy. That's why fast food is so popular, because it's easy. You go to a nice sit-down restaurant and you sit down and they say, what would you like? And you say, I would like the 22-ounce ribeye steak with the sweet potato fries, and I would like what would you like on your salad? I'll take ranch, and great. They bring out bread, and they bring out a salad, and they bring out your meal, and it takes half an hour from when you order to when you get your meal. That's a big undertaking. It takes time. But Wendy's? Going to Wendy's? What would you like? I would like a biggie bag. $5 biggie bag. Great. Sounds good. What do you want to drink and what kind of sauce? I'll take a Coke and ranch. Great. Sounds good. Boom. 2 seconds. I'm at the door. They're taking my money. Next window. Wham. It's hot in my hand. That's why we go there. Because it's easy. How about we apply that to godliness? How about we make it easy for us to do right? Set yourself up for success. Put your Bible out. Put a little carpet pad right next to your hardwood floor bed. Why? So when you get up, you can't use the excuse, oh, it hurts my knees. Have the coffee pot ready to go. Pick up the gospel tracts, put them in your pocket. Get rid of the excuses for yourself. Make it easy. Number two, remove obstacles. Say, what kind of obstacles is there in choosing godliness? How about this? Contentment of how things just are. I've told you this before, but this was more so the case years ago. But Sarah would go to these ladies' conferences. And she would be gone, all day. And in my mind, all I had to do was have her return to me and 5 children. That would be a win. If there were 5 living children and me in the house when she came back home, it was a success. And we approach life sometimes the same way. I'm content if I'm just alive. And God wants so much more from us. We need to remove the obstacles and contentment with how things just are. Hey, we made it through one of the most difficult years in history. Don't lie to yourself, it wasn't. And it's just the devil playing against you. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, the thief cometh not, John 10:10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it, how? More abundantly. God is not in the, has the idea for just settle. He's got an abundant life waiting for you. And we'll convince ourselves, oh, I'm just gonna leave things status quo. Yeah, my Bible reading is kind of like this. Well, guess I'm reading Matthew today. Isaiah tomorrow. Make it easy for yourself. Have a prayer journal. We'll talk about that in a second. Another obstacle that we need to remove. Number one, just to be content with how things are. See, God has an abundant life waiting for you. But procrastination. Oh, what a danger procrastination is. Remember when we were in school? Beginning of the month, the teacher would give you a project report. Here's what I want you to do. I want a 2-page paper on the fall of the Berlin Wall. Great. night before it's due, there we are with the World Book. Open up. That was when we were kids. Remember the remember encyclopedias? I know. We found this old game show channel, and people are winning, like, encyclopedia books. It's kind of funny. Anyways. What do? We procrastinate. What will we tell ourselves? I'll start that tomorrow. Hey, if it's right today, don't wait till tomorrow. January 1. Hey, get a jump on it. Get a jump on it. If you weren't faithful with your Bible reading, if you have not been faithful with your witnessing, if you have not been faithful to your prayer time, if those things, hey, don't wait till January 1. Start tomorrow. Start right away, tonight. Set it all out. Program the coffee pot. Get it all going. Tomorrow's my day to sleep in. Forget that. You're not owed that. You don't deserve that. I read the stories of men that changed our world for the cause of Christ. They would get up at ungodly hours to spend hours in prayer. That's why God used those people. Don't procrastinate. If it's right, it's right today. I'll show you this verse. So number one, how to form good habits. Number one, make it easy. Number two, remove obstacles. Number three, start small. Again, I gave you the illustration of, or the example of reading your Bible through by end of June. Start small. Start with a chapter. Start with not an hour of prayer time. Start with 10 minutes of prayer time. But get in the habit. Get in the habit of it. Look at this great verse in Zechariah. If you're not there by the time I find it, I'm going to read it. Can't wait for everyone to find Zechariah tonight. Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah is a big book. Old Testament. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's on page 968, if that helps you at all. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10, it says this, "For who hath despised the day of small things? For who hath despised the day of small things?" Hey, the small things are important things. Bible tells me in Luke chapter 16, "He that is faithful with the little will be faithful with much." Hey, be faithful with a chapter. Be faithful with 10 minutes. Be faithful with three tracks in your pocket. Be faithful with a moment of wisdom here. Be faithful with charity here. Be faithful with mercy and grace here. And it will become you. But start small. Small adjustments. Number four. Take notice of the immediate benefits. Friends of ours, a little while ago, started Weight Watchers. And every single day, they stand on the scale. Why? Because it's encouraging to them to see all the sacrifice, all the hunger pains, all the gurgles in the stomach, all the pushing the chocolate cake away and eating more salad, and seeing that number go down is encouraging. How about spiritually? Take notice of the small victories. Remember when Ruth was in the field and Boaz says, "Leave her a handful of purpose." Why? She was just being faithful in the small things. He says, "Leave her a little bit." That's what the Lord does with us. You get up early and you're reading your Bible and trying to do it, and you're trying to be faithful in praying and trying to be faithful in these things, trying to create and form new godly good habits. Do you know God's just going to leave a little bit on the ground for you to see? Take notice of that. Remember Dr. Gipp, he preached about that. That was a point. He said, "Had I been in this situation a number of years ago, I probably would knock that guy right out. Praise the Lord. I didn't." All right. Try and pay attention to those things. This is where I was saying, maybe you write some things down. Maybe you write some of those prayer requests down. When God answers, you acknowledge that. What is that? That'll be an encouragement to you to continue in doing that. It's like stepping on the scale, seeing it go down. It's like watching your time get faster as you run. It's like seeing the weights get heavier. It's just an encouragement. Hey, when the Lord teaches you something, write that thing down, underline in your Bible, write it in the margin. Take notice of the immediate benefits. Document them. How to form good habits. Number one, make it easy. Number two, remove obstacles. Number three, make some small adjustments. Take notice of the immediate benefits. Number five, say, how many of these do you have? Six. So we're almost there. Number five, get some support from others. Accountability is very important. The Bible tells me, Proverbs chapter 27, iron sharpeneth iron, and so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Let somebody know, hey, can you help me? I mean, you don't have to broadcast it all over the place, but can you help me? I want to be more faithful in my Bible reading. Can you text me or can you call me? Can you encourage me in that? Hey, I want to be more faithful in prayer. I want to be more faithful than just coming to church. Can you help and encourage me in that? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Almost done. How to set up or how to form good habits. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Edify one another. Encourage one another. Get support. Hey, when someone shows you something, you know, imagine, hey, I was reading in my Bible, and 1 Samuel chapter 17, and do you know that God had those five smooth stones, and but he didn't need them, and I already knew that. Oh, be an encouragement. Hey, I'm so glad the Lord showed you that. That's really neat. I'm glad he showed you something from your Bible reading. Be an encouragement. Edify one another. Hey, if you and a buddy want to, hey, every single day I'm going to try and hand out three gospel tracts. Text them at 8 o'clock at night. How'd your three tracts go? They might say, I didn't get any out. All right, good news. We got tomorrow. And we encourage them. You worthless, good for, your word doesn't mean, what on earth are you doing? We edify one another. Support one another. How to form good habits. Number one, make it easy for yourself. Number two, remove obstacles. Number three, small adjustments. Number four, take notice of the immediate benefits. Number five, get support from others. And lastly, I want to help you. Don't quit. Don't get discouraged. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. There might be a little blip. Keep going. I missed my Bible reading today. I'll pick it back up next January. Oh, no. No, go back to that. If you miss, get back to it. Eventually, like it was said of David, he behaved himself wisely in all his ways. David had a habit of being wise. There's certain things that you know that should be in your life that are not. We mentioned some of the big ones. How do you form good habits? Well, you make it easy. Have some forethought. Think about what could I do. You know, there's an opposite side of this, too. There's bad habits. I was interested to read an article the other day. In 1970, the Surgeon General came out and said, smoking is very bad for you. It will cause lung cancer and emphysema. That's going to kill you. don't smoke. Smoking numbers continued to rise. So they started doing things. They put warning labels on the cigarettes. Remember vending machines? Remember smoking vending machines? You could go and put money. I've never smoked a day in my life, but you could go wherever it was, and they had vending machines for cigarettes. They would sell it, but now where those vending machines are gone, if you want cigarettes, you have to ask for them. They have to go away in the back. They tried to make it inconvenient. That's what we should do for things that aren't good for us. Hey, if there's something in your life that's causing trouble, hey, this thing's going to destroy your home, your life, and your walk with God. Unfortunately, that information, much like being notified by the Surgeon General, you will die of lung cancer and emphysema, isn't enough. We need to get rid of the triggers. I am glad New York State taxes cigarettes like crazy. It makes it more difficult. I don't know how much a pack of cigarettes is. Maybe $10? I don't know. Anybody work at a gas station? Anybody know? All right. No one wants to admit that. Okay, good. If there's things that ought not to be in your life, make it really inconvenient. Hey, if you struggle with something, don't leave that on the nightstand next to you. Don't leave it in the refrigerator. Don't leave it on your hard drive. Don't leave it in the... Get it out of there. Because bad habits ascribe to the same exact rules. And we fight ourselves and we hate it. Why do I keep doing this over and over again? Because you've made it easy. Because you've put no obstacles in the way. Because you're not getting any help from others. Or maybe you're getting the wrong support from others. In forming good habits, it's the same rules for forming bad habits. The question is, what are we going to be known as? What do we know about Saul? Saul had a temper. He did not behave himself wisely, and over again, he proved that. We could go one of two ways. We can make decisions. If I can encourage you here tonight, form good habits. Habits that are going to honor and glorify God. There might be a day when you have a little bump. It's part of life. Don't quit. Get back to it. Get right back at it. And sooner or later, those old habits are going to be gone, and you'll have replaced it with things that honor and glorify God and help you grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's all stand.